Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. We are back. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest this hour, as I mentioned to you earlier, is Dr. Ellen Frankenberg. Let me tell you a little bit about her. She's been with us several times before. She has served the greater Cincinnati area as a family psychologist, developing a substantial clinical practice business, which includes a number of family business clients. She has extensive experience in individual, marital, and family therapy and consultation, including teaching family therapy at the University of Cincinnati's College of Medicine. A major focus of Dr. Frankenberg's work has been identifying and supporting the growth of healthy families, especially where educational programs include the whole family. And the reason that I like having her on the show is because we all know that small businesses are family businesses. And where there are family members, You've got that whole dynamic, as well as the dynamic of all the things that go on in business, and we're going to get Ellen to help us sort all that out. Ellen, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's good to talk to you again.
It's always good to have you with us, and as I indicated, you know, it's just the business dynamic and the business frustrations and problems and headaches and everything else, that's enough to occupy most people's time.
Right.
But when you throw in the family on top of it, and of course there are all kinds of different family makeups that could just be the owner who works in the business by him or herself, and his or her family is not involved directly in the business, but we still have the family needing to support that person, and that person needing to have balance in their life. And then we have the other situation where a wife or a husband or a child or an in-law or something like that's involved. And this turns into an interesting stew, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And I think, you know, I read recently, Jim, that there are 17 million family businesses in the United States. It's 80 to 90% of all U.S. companies. Some of them are mom-and-pop operations. Some of them are mega firms.
Mm-hmm.
Fidelity Investment is an example of a firm which was founded right after World War II, and there's a young woman now in her mid-30s who may inherit that from mm-hmm. her grandfather who founded it. And Ford Motor Company just appointed a grandson of Edsel
right.
to come back into leadership. So these are helpful.
After an absence of a Ford at the helm
right.
for a few years.
These are... And there's this massive World War II generation of entrepreneurs who are now in their 70s, and they're finalizing their estate plans.
Mm-hmm.
And all those businesses, all 17 million, but a good chunk of those 17 million businesses are in transition
mm-hmm.
to the second and very shortly to the crucial third generation, where it gets complicated, because by then there could be several cousins who I think brothers or sisters have a pretty good chance of being partners
mm-hmm.
because they, you know, they had to fight in the back seat, divided exactly evenly for the ride all the way to Michigan. You know, they had to solve disputes as children
right.
and survive without going to the emergency room. So they might be pretty good at knowing how to make up after a fight and how to resolve differences. But you get to that crucial third generation with cousins raised in different households and seven or eight possible heirs.
Non-producing stockholders.
Instead of three or four. And just because of the natural growth of the family, it gets pretty complicated. And that's when I think the word is planning.
Mm-hmm.
When you buy a new house, they say location, location, location. I think in a family business, the word is planning, planning, planning.
Well, and I know you help families develop their strategic plans, and I certainly we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But one of the things I wanted to point out is that, you know, when you think about the business, and you know, you mentioned some very large businesses, but there are plenty, as you know and as you indicated, there are plenty of small businesses
right.
that maybe only do $1 million a year in sales or something like that, and they were founded by the matriarch or the patriarch, and that one person was the founder, the entrepreneur, the owner, the one with a vision, and the boss all these years. And as you say, now that it's been handed down, you've got the situation where maybe that person is not completely out of the business yet.
Right.
And there's still that patriarch that's still hanging on, or they've handed it over to their sons and daughters. And as you say, we've got the third generation coming up here. The operation of that business, and therefore the inner workings of the family, is totally different today than it was 30 years ago when everything was simple because the boss, the founder of the company was the boss and he or she was in charge.
And he or she did most of it all himself or herself,
right.
Like a one-armed paper hanger sometimes.
Right.
And that worked. But there's a different kind of leadership. And when I work with families as a consultant to help them make healthy decisions, I want them to develop criteria ahead of time for the kind of leadership they will need in the next generation. Before naming names, you know, the United States, Jim, rejected monarchy in 1776. We said we didn't want to have any more kings running the country. And yet, in family businesses, there is still this trend or deep gut feeling that somehow the eldest son should inherit the kingdom.
Primogeniture.
And that's the only institution where we think that way.
Mm-hmm.
So what I like to say to family firms is that, you know, you need to figure out what's happening in your industry. Is this an industry which is faced by consolidation where you might have a buyout offer? Is this, so therefore you need somebody who can do that kind of negotiating? Or is this a business which is buying other businesses? One dry cleaning store buying three other dry cleaning stores, where you need to have a little bit of a different kind of management background. And so, does somebody need an MBA to run this company or not? Does somebody need to have a high school diploma to run the company or not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, will it work?
All right. Ellen, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We are back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is our good friend, Dr. Ellen Frankenberg. She is a counselor to family businesses. She is a consultant to help who helps family businesses make sure that they are able to work together and live together and to be together in their businesses successfully, and that is no small feat, Ellen.
Right.
Because I'll tell you, I have worked for family-owned businesses as an employee, and I have worked for many, as you know, who are in my consulting business. I have been a consultant, a vice president you can rent for those companies, and I'll tell you what, there's some real brain damage out there in some of these family-owned businesses, aren't there?
Yeah, well, it's a challenge, and I enjoy that. I think if my goal is that the family should be enriched by owning a business together, not their relationship should be richer because they have so much in common, and not only their balance sheet.
Right. I like the approach that you're taking, and I'm really glad to hear that, and I hope that companies will take advantage of you and other people who do what you do, because you used the word proactive a minute ago, and you and I both have gone into situations. I'm not a professional counselor, but as you can imagine, getting into family businesses and helping them solve problems, I wind up doing a little bit of that. I certainly wind up getting hit with the effects of whatever they're going through in their families. But a lot of times, you walk into something and you wind up trying to fix what's already broken.
Right. I like to get ahead of the curve, Jim. And what I do with families is try to create a family forum. That would include all the stakeholders in the family. That's in-laws, children above the age of 16. And we come to a retreat setting together, maybe a state park or a motel, get away from the phones and the television, and talk together about the heritage of the family, what the family takes pride in, what their values are.
Their visions.
The history of the company. We develop a family mission statement. What is the mission of this family to develop great wealth for future generations who never worked for it?
Mm-hmm.
Or is the mission of this family to provide a job for all family members, whether they show up on time or not? what is the mission of the family? And we work on that. And then out of that, we develop what I call a family strategic plan that should complement the business strategic plan. And that includes issues like, what are the criteria for hiring family members? If your name's on the door, do you get a job automatically? Or do you have to apply and meet the criteria that are published in the newspaper for other applicants?
Mm-hmm.
You have to. Should a family member pass the same drug screen as other employees, especially if they're moving heavy equipment? Should the family member have outside experience? I really recommend this, that if you've got a son or daughter who's a great candidate for the business, why not ask them to get a job with a company that's one step ahead of yours?
Mm-hmm.
And then they can have that experience to bring, and for the rest of their lives, if they stay there long enough to get at least one promotion, they'll know that they could make it, even if their dad's name wasn't on the door.
Right, and I'll tell you what, that helps in so many different ways, and I've recommended that to my clients before. I've actually had clients to say, what do you think I ought to do? Little Jimmy or Susie or whatever is about to graduate from college, what do you think that I should have them do? And my first response is, tell them to go get a job.
Get out of town.
Help them do their resume.
And even
pop them on the butt and say, you know, go get a job.
Yeah, and preferably in another city where they kind of have to figure out their own way.
Right.
And they have an experience of autonomy. They can make it on their own. And even if somebody did come into the business straight out of high school and never left, then I hope they have some other experience, maybe heading up a volunteer or charitable organization or sailing a boat across Lake Michigan or rehabbing their own home, that they do something that doesn't involve the family.
You know, one thing, Ellen, that I've seen before is I have known people who inherited a business, and they're financially, they're doing very well. Their life is not full of a lot of stress, but They did feel sort of captive. They do feel sort of being held captive by this business. And when they get in their 40s, they start thinking, you know, what else could I have done? It was just expected that I would come in and take
right.
over this company, but I didn't get a chance to do what I might have liked to have done.
Well, sometimes the handcuffs are golden.
That's exactly right.
You know, they've got such a great financial opportunity that they could never match any other place.
Exactly.
So
Ellen, stand by. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Dr. Ellen Frankenberg is our special guest, and we're talking about developing a family strategic plan. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. All right. We're back. Heroes, thank you for joining us again. It's 33 after the hour. I appreciate your business. You're listening to the show that is dedicated to providing small business owners and small business dreamers and family members of small businesses the maximum opportunity to be successful. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Ellen Frankenberg. Dr. Ellen Frankenberg is our special guest. We're talking about developing a family strategic plan. This is very important, folks. If you've got more than one member of a family in a business, you need to be thinking about this. And Ellen, I'd like for you to tell our audience how they can contact you if they'd like to talk to you about the possibility of working with you.
I'm based in Cincinnati, Ohio. My phone number is 513-729-1511.
Okay.
513-729-1511. I'd be happy to talk to you on an initial basis if you have a question.
All right. And would that, if someone just wanted to talk to you and see what the possibility is and how you work, would there be any charge for that?
No, there wouldn't.
Okay. So the interview is free.
Right.
Do you have an email?
Yes, I do. It's bizfamily, B-I-Z, family, F-A-M-I-L-Y, one word, bizfamily1@AOL.com.
And that's the numeral one?
The numeral one.
Okay, at AOL.com?
That's it.
Okay, good. Let's continue. We were just about to get into, or we had just gotten into the family strategic plan a little bit. Ellen, and I had to cut you off because we took a break. Why don't you pick up where
sure.
we picked up?
Well, what I do is bring all the stakeholders together, members of a family who stand to gain or lose, and we learn together some of the best practices of other family businesses. A lot of entrepreneurs have been so busy running the company that they haven't had time to learn conflict resolution skills or how to build consensus. And most family firms will work longer and harder to reach consensus because they want to have Thanksgiving and the 4th of July together. And if they can't reach consensus and they don't have a skilled facilitator or the skills to do that, they end up doing nothing. And then, you know, nobody knows what's going to happen till the will is read. Sometimes they have a gigantic tax bill. And the company stands at risk, and so does the family. So I like to get ahead of that curve and develop in the family forum a written document called the Family Strategic Plan. And after the family has a chance to understand the significance of their own heritage and hear one another in a thoughtful setting, then we write down criteria for hiring family members. Another important one we write down in the Family Strategic Plan is who should have the opportunity to own stock. Some family members pass on to the next generation $10,000 worth of stock every year simply to avoid taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But that has got complications. I worked with a fourth generation family a while ago. I'll change some of the facts. And they were scattered all over the country. By the time I met them, there were six siblings, all in their 60s. They could not agree on the value of the stock. Nobody could settle their estate plans. And they were headed into court. So I would prefer, ordinarily, that the stock be transferred to those family members, for example, in the third generation and later, who are working in the company, and that they purchase that stock. And they do that because they've chosen to work there. If their siblings don't choose to work in the company, they want to be vets or museum curators or farmers or do something different, that's great. They cannot complain later if that company doubles or triples in value
mm-hmm.
when they did not participate in it. And then I think the family needs to develop other assets. Life insurance is commonly used as a way to give some inheritance to those heirs who do not choose to work in the company. But that's the kind of thinking, so that otherwise those who are actually managing the company within a generation or two could end up with a minority position.
Right. That happens often, and as you say, you've got stockholders around the country, around the world, who are just basically clipping their coupons.
And with different lawyers, and they're unhappy sometimes with the distribution, or they don't know. They scatter their stock to another six descendants, and I think it gets pretty complicated in terms of the control by management in a closely held company. Very different from a public offering.
Let's go back for just a minute and talk about the business, the small business that's out there, and the children have grown up together, and there's this sibling thing going on. You know, even the closest siblings have the sibling problems that you know almost everybody has, and then they grow up and they're working in the business together. How do you deal with that when one of the siblings has got to be the senior vice president because they're older, they got to the business earlier or whatever, they've got more experience? How do you deal with them working together like that?
Well, I think the most important thing is to help the individual son or daughter, cousin, whoever, to define his or her own talents objectively. That means they might have a non-family mentor who challenges them in an objective way. They would have regular evaluations. And if somebody turns out to be really good at sales, then they ought to be doing sales. That's their niche in the company.
Right.
And there could be a younger child who is a very good administrator, who's very organized, who sees the big picture.
Right.
And it ought to be, the selection of function ought to be related to their talents and interests.
All right.
And if everybody's got a niche, my experience is there's a better chance of success.
All right, stand by, Ellen. We're going to take a break. Folks, it's 39 after the hour. When we come back, we're going to get Ellen to tell us what happens when everybody wants the same niche. 888-822-8255. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Dr. Ellen Frankenberg. She is a family counselor specializing in family business. She works with companies to help them work out their strategic plans for their families in their business, to work with their, to make sure that their family strategic plan works well with their business strategic plan. Did I say that right, Ellen?
I think you said it just fine.
Okay, good.
Right before the break, you know, you were asking me, Jim, about what if members of the family want the same niche?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think that's a matter of being very clear on talents and responsibilities. Sometimes today companies are diversifying, so maybe someone in the next generation would head a new unit of a company, perhaps some new development in another city where each could have the opportunity to develop their own turf.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you also mentioned a 40-year-old entrepreneur who might have younger children who aren't quite ready to make a decision. And the research I've read says that what works best is if children are exposed to the business without pressure. Maybe they do have a summer job there and help out and see what it's like. But it's not pressured. Lots of times at the supper table, kids hear all the complaints. You know, dad or mom comes home and they've had a rough day, and or the business takes mom or dad away from the family too many hours, and the child may grow up thinking the business is nothing but a big problem. And when I've had these family forums, one family I worked with, there was a grandson who was about 22. He was mostly interested in golf and found a way to get a degree in golf, a two-year program in golf club management, and he was no more interested in the machine tool business than in flying a kite. And he started coming to these family meetings and realized the potential and the energy that was shared among his uncles and his father. And he, in the middle of the family meeting, said, "I think I'd like to work for this company someday." And I said, "Yeah, and you might design the best golf club that ever was, and maybe this company could, you know, provide you with other opportunities." So sometimes the child or the young man or woman needs to know the good stuff about the company.
But isn't it, Ellen, isn't it important if you, and we all love our children, but and we all would like to think if we have a family business, we have these dreams of our children following in our footsteps and taking over. There's just something about handing it down to our children. But isn't it important that we say to our children, "Look, this is what I would like for you to do, but that's not as important as what you would like to do. And before you make this decision, I don't ever want you to feel trapped. I want to make sure that you have done this because it's what you want to do, not because what I want you to do or what you think is expected of you."
Exactly. I think it needs to be, you know, all choices are influenced one way or the other. But I think that it needs to be as open as possible, that opportunity, that they could go elsewhere and still be a member of the family. That's why it's important when families have gatherings that everything doesn't center around the business, that the talk and the conversation, and that there are times when you're together as family where you just enjoy each other without focusing on the business.
Well, and the other thing is let's say that there's an older child who's come into the business and is just really taking off, really doing a great job, and the younger children are still forming themselves, they're still getting their education and deciding what they want to do. And if all they hear is how great and wonderful this other child is, then they want that kind of recognition too. And if they're not getting it, if it's all going to the other child, then this creates a bad situation, doesn't it?
That's right. As usual, it's balance. It's finding the right niche according to the specific talents of each child, encouraging them, spending time helping them to talk about their dreams.
Mm-hmm.
What is their dream? And maybe I've seen children of entrepreneurial families go off and start their own company from scratch. They did something that is similar to what Dad did, but they did it in a slightly different way. The other issue, I think, is sometimes there is no one in the family, or the children are too young. You know, someone who didn't have their children until their 40s, when they want to retire at 55, they could have a 15-year-old. And so they may need to hire a non-family manager as an interim person until the child can make an adult decision. Sometimes people sell the company too quickly, I think.
Yeah.
because they think their child is, you know, still a cheerleader or, you know, still partying on some campus.
I've recommended that before where the child was, the heir apparent was, say, 25,
uh-huh.
and the owner was ready to retire. And, you know, I've said, you know, why don't you hire a person that can take this company for 10 years until your child becomes 35?
And be a mentor. And that's when you need the family forum. So the family still has a voice,
right,
even if there's a non-family manager,
right,
doing the job.
Stand by, Ellen. Folks, it's 50 after the hour. We've got to take a quick break. We're going to be right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Dr. Ellen Frankenberg is our special guest today. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Dr. Ellen Frankenberg, family counselor. She works with small businesses to help them. Well, Ellen, why don't you go ahead and say it. Tell us, you give us the description better than me.
Yeah, I work with family firms to help them make healthy decisions, especially around succession planning and conflict resolution and making major decisions. There are many family firms, small, closely held firms there that are offered buyouts today. And sometimes people take the money because it's too good to be true, and then 6 months later, there's a lot of disappointment or depression because they're no longer doing the work they love, and they no longer have the business as a heritage in the family. So I want to be sure whatever they decide about buying a business or selling a business, that that they make healthy decisions. And selecting the next CEO is another time when families call me in.
One of the things that you've done, Ellen, is you've talked about, I know you've seen some best practices in family businesses out there.
Well, there's a lot of research in this area now. I think the family businesses that survive are engaged in strategic planning. They're thinking and working out written plans about their participation in the marketplace. So they're doing strategic planning. This is particularly in the United States. They are, the family itself is being educated through workshops and seminars, meetings, the family forum where they learn as a family the best practices of other firms. They keep, successful family firms keep family control. They don't just give stock away to consultants or employees on a casual basis. They keep family control of the stock, and within the family, they concentrate the ownership in those heirs who work and know the business best because they manage it, and they develop other assets for other heirs, such as life insurance or real estate. Many firms do that, so that they don't end up with a lot of minority shareholders who don't know anything about the business. And they keep family control, but they put the business first. The decisions in the business need to be made with the needs of the business in mind, and decisions on the family side. If you have a child who has some kind of problem, maybe they can have a job in the company if they meet the requirements that all other employees meet.
That's very important, and that's
right.
Something that a lot of family businesses make a mistake in, and that is that they assume that somebody in the business is going to become part of the company even if they don't have anything to contribute to the company. And they've got to realize, they need
right.
to realize that the business comes first, because that's what feeds the family.
Yeah, if there's a niche in a company that this child, and certainly handicapped children or people that are challenged in some way, can contribute to a business, as long as you find the right niche for them and that they can have the self-esteem that they really are contributing. It's not just a job that's created, which is a do-nothing job.
Right.
So that the business decisions are made from the perspective of the business, and the family responsibility to care for its own can be done in many, many ways, not only through the business.
Right. Well said, Ellen. Thank you very much. We're going to let that be the last word. We're coming up on the end of the hour. Dr. Ellen Frankenberg has been with us this hour, and we've been talking about how to develop a family strategic plan for your small business. Ellen, thanks again. As always, you did a great job.
Thank you, Jim.
Looking forward to having you back again real soon.
Okay.
Okay. See you later. Bye-bye. All right, folks, I got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank the most important members of the Small Business Advocate Program, my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And please remember to keep our sons and daughters in mind in your thoughts and in your prayers, those who are in harm's way over in the Yugoslavia area. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.